So welcome this first Tuesday live with Linda and friends, and the first Tuesday of this new year. And what has come to me is this concept that I came away from Miami with a few weeks ago from Abraham and Esther Hicks. This two things that I want to just share with you today. And one was the idea that we are born in clusters. And it was in answer to work. She was working with someone, Abraham and Esther were working with a person who asked about how important, what about reincarnation? You know, what do I have to know or do about that? And one of the things that she said that I had never consciously thought of before is this concept that we're born in clusters. And when I say I hadn't thought about it before, over the years, what has been amazing to me is how people find their way to T-Touch. And those who've been here, like keep coming back and back and back and back over the years, it's no accident that we're here. And I'm quite certain for those who are drawn to this group, because we're quite a small group, and yet we've done so much together in these past months, and I think it's been over a year, some of us. And I would like to begin by sharing, first of all, what that regression brings up for me. And many of you have heard this before, but I think that each time we hear something, we see it a little differently. And I just want to welcome you, Harriet and Becky. You came in, and Anna. I think those are the last. And so that you all know, Rania is here from Norway, which is a pleasure. And I'm going to first share this piece with you that I wrote in 1984. I say response, it's what happened after we did our first study with Anna Wise from the Boulder Institute of Biofeedback Institute of Boulder, Colorado. And so I want to screen share this with you all. Share the screen. And where are you? See if I can get this right here. So a few days after our week-long training in Boulder, Colorado with horses. Debbie, were you by any chance there? When we did that,
I was there that year.
Isn't that amazing? I just love it.
So 84. Exciting! It was a life changing week for me, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I wrote this as the early morning sun cast its first rays behind the Rocky Mountain Ridge across the valley from where I sat, because before we started the class in the morning, before the sun came up, I went to top of a ridge so I could see the sun come up over the mountains, and I had my journal with me. And as the sun came up, I wrote this O Atlantis, and I was like in shock because I'd never thought of Atlantis. I mean, when I say in shock, I was surprised. I wasn't shocked. I was surprised. And what I just kept writing, and that's how I've done so many of the poems that many of you have heard, and the messages that I get from the stones and the trees and the wind and the fairy kingdom, and of course the fig tree. And what happened as I started to write, and I wasn't going to share this with you all, but I think it's so interesting when I think about it. So I just kept writing. Oh, Atlantis, speak to me. I know it's time that I can see the past and future again as one. I hear the call. I'm ready now. We must all gather, come together again. The pod was scattered, each learning alone. Finally, we've got it. We've come together to clone, to strengthen our oneness, our knowingness too. Our bonds have weakened. We must learn anew who we are, together, what we promise to do. So awaken, dear friends. Our family is strong. Come together again to strengthen this bond, to renew our promise, to spread the word, to join our voices so they can be heard above the cries of fear and death. And when I wrote that, I thought, you know, in 84, there were no cries of fear and death. And I went on to write, it's like kneading bread and adding leaven to expand the knowing that this can be heaven. And as you'll see in the next, in this piece that I'm about to read to you, this can be heaven. This is a message that I get over and over from the stones, from the earth, from the wind. And what does that mean? This can be heaven. For me, it's a choice that we make, that when we decide to be, to know, to remember our knowingness that we are one with all beings, with Mother Earth, with the trees, with all, that is heaven on earth. And when we choose to keep ourselves in a state of separation, just meaning for me, it's just going by the fact that, you know, you're in charge of everything. And what that means to me has very much to do with our experience of T-Touch, because that's a left brain concept of logic. And it's so interesting that that's in most people, unless you have gone to a Waldorf school or a special school where the emphasis is on also the arts and all of the right brain activities, we're just kind of stuck in this place of left brain logic. But it's a feeling of being alone. And so what I love about this T-Touch is, because we are making, recognizing this connection, this activation of both hemispheres of our brain, especially when we just, let's take the simplest T-Touch, simplest 1 1/4 T-Touch. The fact that we are visualizing, and it's not every time, it's just there, like a homeopathic proving behind, oh yeah, it's a 1 1/4 movement that we make. And that 1 1/4 is a number. And we have a very specific way of doing it with pressure and tempo. All that is a method. And methods activate our left brain, which is really necessary for us to be here together. We need that left brain. However, the fact that we imagine this face of the clock and we feel, we move the tissue, or we move our fingers, movement and imagination and daydreaming and dance and art and music, all of that brings activation of the right brain. And that's what this work is about. Because when we are constantly activating both hemispheres of the brain, that right brain, and it's like a song to understand. It activates the feeling, our daring to feel, our creativity, and just choosing, for instance, which of the T-touches we are going to do. And the fact that it activates our compassion for others and for ourselves, and our intuition. And this concept of intuition, this idea, this definition by Judy G, J-U-D-E-E, capital G-E-E, in her little book entitled Intuition, this concept, that intuition is a manifestation of this divine consciousness within us. And when we get that, that in every cell in our body is that universal divine source consciousness and intelligence and wisdom in every cell in our body. And Rania, that's what I want today, later today, I want to lead us all through that gift of daring to see our perfection when we recognize at the cellular level that we are reflections of divine, of source. And that when something happens, like cancer in the body, it's when the communication between the cells is influenced negatively, interrupted. And when we think about, wait a minute, but when I see this body that I have, when I see it, that every cell in the body knows its function in the body. That is the work of Sir Charles Sherrington in the 30s when he won a Nobel Prize for his study of the life in the cells. And that when we start seeing that intelligence and we begin to feel this idea, we're all connected with the Mother Earth, with the sky, with the stones, with our animals, with all of this. And that can either lead you to a place of thinking of what's going on in this planet, but I want us together to recognize, yes, there's always been really bad stuff that goes on this planet. When we focus on the positive, and when we focus on our gratitude, and we look around us, and every time we feel fear, or we have pain, or we hurt, or we're terrified of what could happen, if you just simply write down, and when it's that level of fear, you have to write down, what are the things for which we are grateful? And gratitude overrides fear. And as I've shared with you before, my experience of doing a past life regression and seeing that every single cell in my body has darkness in it. What is that darkness? I saw it. It's the fear that we have that is a reflection of all fear of all times. And we have, interesting, the possibility of bringing light into that darkness by simply gratitude. And this beautiful concept by Dr. Jerry Jampolsky, that love is letting go of fear, that brings us to that place of loving ourselves. And it's the hardest thing for humans to do, I think, is to love ourselves, because we're taught from the, the get-go, all the many people are, from our teachers, when we don't have the good luck to have one of those amazing teachers that's there to support us, we get it from all sides. We're not as beautiful as the next person, all this stuff, but it doesn't matter, because we can choose to just think, oh my gosh, this body, I'm a miracle. I can see, I can breathe. How is it possible? No, because of that source in every cell in our body. And so that heaven on earth message that day, I came down and we did this study with Anna Wise. And it's so incredible, Debbie, that you were there, because what she did was hook us all up and checked with just sitting there, not thinking, you know, anything. And most people are in that state of beta where you've got all these thoughts going through your head. But when we started to apply the T-Touch to another person, the person doing the T-Touch and the person receiving these basic 1 1/4 circles had an activation in both hemispheres in what's called the awakened mind state. And I wonder, Kirsten, if you could, by any chance, or maybe Marnie, you know where that is, we pull up this, the image that is part of the awakened mind state. You can now, Anna Wise has long crossed the Rainbow Bridge, but there's the Anna Wise work website, and her work is still being taught and going on with the measurement now of the mind mirror that not only measures our beta, alpha, theta, and delta brainwaves, but also now the gamma. And those are the brainwaves. Those gamma brainwaves are the brainwaves that are activated when we imagine that we're reaching out and touching someone. When we imagine anything, that gamma is activated. And that those are the brain waves that the Dalai Lama's monks have been measured so many times for this, because they stay in this state of gamma when they're sending compassion to the world. So what I want to do is just read this little piece. I went home after that workshop, and I'm gonna just read down here. 4 days later, after that experience, back home in California, during a past life regression with Rhea Powers, I found myself standing on a vast aquamarine crystal stage, like immeasurable. It was in the earth, and it was just a huge portion of the earth covered with this aquamarine crystals. And I believe that you are all there. I believe it's, you'll see in a moment. So I was part of a large gathering of friends saying goodbye near the end of Atlantis. We were all carrying large crystals programmed with information about Atlantis. We each agreed that at some time in the distant future, when the world was once again at a tipping point, which is where we are, we would find our way back together, each bringing special gifts. My gift would be a special type of simple touch that would remind each person of his or her perfection and oneness with divine spirit and with all that is. That is heaven on earth. So welcome to the gathering of those who promise to make a difference in the world. And the beautiful thing is that it's just so exciting for me is this concept that Greg Braden has written about in his book, The Spontaneous Healing of Belief. This idea, we all make a difference by every thought that we have, every feeling we have, every emotion, and every belief that we have. And we all have, I mean, if we're alive, we all have times when those emotions or feelings or beliefs are not necessarily positive. They can be negative beliefs. We all have them. And yet, when we recognize that and say, okay, I'm human, I forgive myself, and I can change that, I make that choice to see that situation from a positive point of view, finding some gift in it and just switching that. And during COVID, man, there were a few times when it wasn't enough just to think of something positive. I had to really write a list of all the things that for which I was grateful. That's all it's about, finding gratitude. Gratitude overrides fear. And that brings us to a place of love. And welcome, Alice and Karen and Cheryl. What a pleasure to have you join us today. So I would like to have you, and is that Victoria? Are you really there?
Yes, so I'm here.
You would be here. Thank you.
I'm here.
Thank you.
Hi.
So I would like to just have us do a heart hug. And Rania, yeah. I'm not sure how much in your class, are you acquainted with the heart hugs? Yes, okay. So we're going to, there are two ways that we can do this. And I keep saying this over and over and over because for those of you, you know, what I learned many years ago, and I really believe it takes many times of hearing the same thing over and over. And each time we pick up something a little deeper. So I could either just say, imagine the face of a clock here on your chest, which is our heart chakra. Imagine that. Now, the reason, and the clock, of course, remember the clock, numbers on the clock, activate the left brain. Thank you, left brain. We really need you. But then what I imagine the clock is my right brain. Good. And now I'm going to invite you today to perhaps find a different way to move in the direction you prefer intuitively. Move this tissue starting from your 6 o'clock toward the ground and make a tiny, tiny circle. You can just a tiniest circle from 6. Imagine you going like a scoop, a quarter of a little scoop up to the 9. Nice deep breath with a smile. A little scoop up to 12, over to 3, to 6, and up to 9. And stop at 9 with a deep breath and a smile. Oh. Let's just get the process here first. And now I'd like everyone to go in the opposite direction, starting with your 6 and like a quarter circle. Quarter little scoop up from 6 up to the 3. 12, 9, 6, 3. Smile, take a deep, deep breath in through your nose and just gently out through your mouth or pursed lips. And now I'd like you to find some place of your hand that you don't normally use to move the tissue. I'm going to use the elephant seal part just to be different. Try to find some way you haven't tried before and do another circle and a quarter. Play around which direction would you like to go. And this time, with this 1 1/4 circle, I'd like to you to send a cascade of light into yourself. Just imagine them all over your body, lighting up the cells. And imagine these cells, oh, wow, I'm getting a lot of nice love and light. And send them love. Send love to this vessel that contains your soul. And I'm going one direction and then the other. And realize, like, just explore a little bit with the lightest possible contact you can use to actually move the tissue. Feel how that feels. And then do a little more pressure and feel how that feels with more pressure. And then go back to the lightest possible contact that will actually move the tissue. And smile. And because this is our first day of the year, I'd like us to just share something in just this last 25 minutes that we've done. Just anything that intuitively comes to you that you would like to put in this circle that we have here, this group of people who've known ourselves, known each other through many, many lifetimes. Anything that comes to you.
Well, Linda, I'd love to share that even after doing this for more than 30 years, I haven't experimented with the very light heart hug. And I love it. I love it. I've always felt like I really needed to move the skin, but with that very light pressure that was as much intention as movement, it just so got the attention of my cells in a different way that I really love. I'm going to experiment with this because it was really fun. Thank you.
And the thing that made me think about this is this statement that I read to you last week from Robin and Mandy's book on the wraps for humans, for you, wrap it up for you. And the idea that the lighter contact movement of the skin activates the most oxytocin. That's the trust hormone. And that the deeper feels good to many people, and yet the deeper contacts activate more of the cortisol, what's thought of as the stress hormone. And so that just the lightest whisper of movement can make such a difference. And Rania, with your and with any of the rest of us who are dealing with issues in our body, just this light one and a quarter circles, whichever direction you prefer, and play with that, because it could change from time to time. That is activating that trust in ourselves, that connection to this amazing source energy, divine energy in every cell in our body. Let's just remember that when you share something, because it's kind of scary, because when you do that, you help to manifest it, to realize it, to really be conscious of what you are saying. Who would like to share? Diane, thank you.
I'm just so appreciating and so very aware day by day how being involved with all you ladies. Thank you. I've always believed that we are all united. You know, one thing creates something else, but you have so helped to allow me to feel the energy of that, how everything we do will affect that bird or that horse or that little woolly bear or another person. And it's just amazing how that has been shifting for me. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Katarina has her hand up.
Katarina, thank you, Marnie. I'm so in a place of appreciation, I can't really logically look. I'm feeling. Katarina.
I went to a place. First, I thought I was falling asleep, but I was in such a place of reception of, I felt like we were in a different place and you were demonstrating something on somebody's leg. And it was just this whole other place of time. And I felt like we were all there, but it was just a place where really of allowing just information or a vision or, and it was just beautiful. It just felt secure and comfortable. And so that's not really a word, but it was just an allowance was allowed of just a glimpse of us, I believe.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Ronia, and then Teresa. Thank you, Katarina.
It felt like a shower of light all over me. And it was looked beautiful.
Lovely.
Thank you.
And that when you just think about it, when we have something where the cells are not, you know, functioning the way they ideally would be, if instead of thinking about fighting them, we think about just, wow, giving thanks for all the cells that are working well. Just knowing that that divine intelligence is in all those cells, even the ones that are like off kilter, off balance. And so instead of like fighting, or of course the fear of death, this idea of, wait a minute, I can use this amazing opportunity just to experience that light in the cells. It's like a miracle to look at this body that we have and be able to forgive us. No, for not being perfect. But that's really hard to do, right? Unless you think of it from the point of view, wait a minute, oh my gosh, all these like 50 to 100 trillion cells, it depends who writes it. And every cell knows its function in the body. That's Sir Charles Sherrington, the first work. That's a miracle. I am a miracle. And start like going, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And seeing that. And I during the break, I'm going to go and get a gift that I was given this Christmas of a painting of what I believe we look like, all of us. So we'll wait till the break. Teresa.
So, hi, everybody. It is a real important moment for me to have this community, because we had both my husband and my, we have COVID and quite in a tough way. And it is so important, exactly what you said, Linda, to have this, let's say the hard hug, what I do with the elephant foot. And I do tea touches and I say, okay, it is how it is. And this visit, we will leave it as soon as possible. And thank to you all that you are here. And I'm thinking on you. And I think that I will go back to sleep again, because at least I can sleep. So the only thing I wanted to ask, when do we have our wonderful Saturday meeting?
Coming up.
Coming up. It's not the next Saturday.
It's a coming up Saturday, this week, this Saturday.
Oh, okay. So I will be, I hope it will be much better because I'm only coughing and disturbing. So thank you so much to each of you. And Linda, you know, you're a real soul sister. Thank you.
And much love, please, to Umberto.
Thank you. Thank you. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao. Marnie.
Cheryl, oh. Cheryl's been up for a little while too.
Oh, thanks. Help me, please, because I'm in a state of euphoria right now. I'm not in my left brain.
Can I just say something, even so, because of what Teresa just said, but Cheryl is next. I was just going to say being in the group is like being in a heart hug.
Thank you. Great description, Marnie. Cheryl, blessings.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's been a while. So I just, you asked initially what thing, I guess, I don't know, it was a word that came to me that we got from that 25 minutes. And the word trust came up, which was interesting because you then later mentioned about the lighter touch being trust. But for me, the trust was I'm trying to listen more to myself with my heart versus with the logic brain, right? That wants to, you know, understand and control things. But what I noticed is for the heart hug, my first instinct, which I've never had before, was to put my hands like this over my heart. And so I just let that go, even though it wasn't something I'd done before. And that was good. And then later, I had a really strong urge to work with my hand on my heart, but also here on my head. Right. And I don't know why on this side, but after I did, the whole head just kind of feels like open. It's kind of interesting, but that was just a trusting that my body knew where it wanted to be worked on and just letting it happen, even though that's not what you're telling us to do exactly. I mean, you know, what you were describing. So so that's my trust lesson.
Beautiful. And I want to thank you for following what you needed to do, because this is just like this is an opportunity to be ourselves. And if I ask you to do something and think, oh, I want to try this, try it, do it, explore it, experience it, and share it with us, because it's really helpful to all of us when we follow, when we dare to follow what we feel we need. Because so often, who has the time, you know, who has the inclination to do it? So Cheryl, thank you.
Thank you.
And while I have you, actually, I would like, because some of you don't know the book that Cheryl has written, and I just want to acknowledge your courage and your phenomenal intelligence, the way you have been able to take that story of your amazing childhood abuse and in this beautiful logical process that you did to find your way to a new understanding. Cheryl, it's you have achieved such a gift for other people to read and to dare.
Thank you. I don't know what to say, but thank you.
Well, can you hold your book up? Because I recommend for every intelligent person to read this book.
Give me 1 second. I got to grab a copy.
Okay. We'll go to the next while you're looking for it.
Okay.
And for some, remember that, and thank you, because I forgot these responses. It's so cool when you can go down to under reactions, and I love it when your hearts pop up when somebody you know, says something that was really great, you know, that you really touches your heart, or yes, a thumbs up, or I love this clapping. It's kind of nice too. And this, I take it, is celebration. That little, is that a cone or fireworks off on the right? So it's really fun to have those responses.
I'm back.
Okay, so there's your book. Wait, I'm going to, let's put you on speaker. Hold it up. You have to speak.
Oh, here I am, sorry.
There
this
is it.
This is actually my copy that I keep, and I grabbed it real quick because it's signed by Farletta, my horse. See the dirt?
Oh, cool, with her hoof print.
Yeah, and she knows that, and there's a little bit that she did that just right before she passed. So that was, it's a very special copy. So there it is. It is on Amazon, and I've just put it on a different distributor so that you should be able to go to a bookstore and ask for it.
Great.
They should be able to order it. It may take a few days before it's actually available because I just did it last night. But anyway, that's it. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Anna?
Yes, happy 2023. New way to write things. And I love the thing that it adds up to 7.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say really quickly, I love bamboo paper, toilet paper. It has just really, I try to look for it everywhere I go. Obviously, I can get it online. Every so often, one of our markets will have it. And I'm like, okay, I got to buy, you know, a couple of big 12 ones, you know, just bamboo is amazing. It's a little more sustainable, obviously, than us. I mean, obviously we can do recycled paper from trees, but I love this idea. I'm looking forward to maybe one day we'll have hemp paper, since a lot of people, you know, we've got just different things that happen with, quote, industrial hemp and medicinal hemp. One thing I wanted to say, last week when you were showing us different animals, ways to do the Tillotson tea touch. That was really, for me, it's really being new here again, being here for 2 years. That review was just slowly but beautiful, and listening to you talk and give a demonstration was really magical. And I loved, again, when you were talking about when we're working, especially in this idea of our arm, I loved how you thought about, if we go towards our interpretation, you know, from 6 to 9 and then come back around and lift up. I loved how you said, and make sure you come down very softly and come back down to 6. I've been practicing that, and I really love the gentleness around it. And then one thing I wanted to say again about what we did at the last quote Saturday, a class was again with our fingers, you know, making a decision. And that I really have to think about 6 because it's so tiny, you know, and going from every finger. And then when you suggested, Victoria, your birthday last week was such a great celebration with all the angels. I mean, I have my angel bell. I've been looking everywhere for my angels. It has just been such a great week. Thank you for bringing that energy. And then you suggested to Victoria about starting with her eye that feels a little bit more, you know, comfortable to touch. And with our fingers, each finger, I've been practicing that all week. And because also my left eye is the one that feels more like it wants to shut down. So it was really wonderful then to start again and feel the opening, the gentle opening. So thank you for that suggestion. And I hope, Vicki, Victoria, you've had a chance to practice. It's really quite nice to take every little finger. You can hold your hand and just gently think about what finger and what direction are you going to 9 or to 3, depending on which eye. So thank you again. That's a lot.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Angela.
So when I was doing the heart hug and I tried going the different way, so I find it so much, it's just right for me to go clockwise. And if I go anti-clockwise, it doesn't feel quite right. And I wondered is that anything to do with a person, whether they are left or right-handed? They find one way more comfortable than the other, or is it just completely random?
So, Angela, that was the question that Denise sent this morning that she wanted us to explore. So I'm going to, Rania, one of the things that has made my life what it is today is that I have been practicing trusting my intuition since I was 30 years old. It's a long time ago. And so Denise, for the study that she's doing on the science behind T-Touch, wants to know who feels more comfortable doing the T-Touches in the clockwise direction or the anti-clockwise. And what I would like us to explore now, and we're just going to follow this line for a moment, and if any of you come in doing talking about the first part of this, just jump in. We're going to mix this up. So the question is, okay, if you use your left hand, does that make any difference which direction feels comfortable? Or does it make a difference one hand over the other when you're like doing the heart hug? And it was interesting using the elephant, elephant foot that Teresa was using, because you can make it soft. And I often use this part of the hand, which is the elephant seal. And interesting, this is the elephant foot and the elephant seal. So, Denise, I would like you, if you have a way you would like to ask this question, and I'm just going to ask each person to explore the direction and then have you be able to hear.
My question, hi everybody, and have a good new year and healthiness, and so yeah, good feelings for this year. No, my question is not only if it goes clockwise or the other round. I want to know, goes the spiral, what everybody does, more outwards or inwards? Can you imagine? Because if you go from the 6 to the 9, about the 12, the 3, and in all, I don't know if you can see this, and usually into the books we are going outward, you know, all science goes outward. But my question is it possible that we do it inward? Because we are curling the fingers, and that would be, it could be more sense, because we go more deeper into the DNA, into the cells, when we go to the middle point of the spiral. Do you understand what I mean?
No, evidence, very clear. And yeah. my initial answer to that, what I have been getting for the last, I don't know, quite a few months, is suddenly the recognition, it's not like I'm going into the cells. It's like I'm making this movement that is activating the key, but it's another word I'm looking for. I just suddenly realized it's a combination to open that entrance into the intelligence of the cells. I mean, we, with so many trillions, 50 to 100 trillion cells, it's not necessarily, and this is something I've never said before, and I have an old, I've only thought in the last little while, wait a minute, it's actually this turning of the key is like opening to this world. I mean, consider every cell is a reflection of the entire universe as we know it. So wait a minute, this is the universe we're touching, but it's like going into this huge Swiss vault. And this is a secret code, this 1 1/4. So that's how I see it. So answers, who was first? Who's watching the?
Jules first.
Let me, okay. I've drawn that motion many times, but I never, and it's hard to draw to indicate that last quarter circle. So I never thought of it as an in or out spiral. I understand golden ratio and all that. That last quarter circle is simply tracing the same first quarter circle, first quarter of the circle for me.
Me too. Exactly.
But drawing it is kind of hard unless you do it in like light gray and then go a dark gray or something.
Right.
So.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification, because I wouldn't have thought to say that, but that's precisely what I'm doing, following the same track.
I understand that, right? The radius is the same.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I want.
So Denise, one of this begs the question, you see, we're thinking this is like the golden ratio.
No, the golden ratio is into the frequency of you are making the spiral. Because if you make it in 1/2 second and you go nearby 1 1/4, you have the golden cut. It's not important if you go inward or outward. Mm-hmm. It's only the frequency, how you make it. And it's if you do it for 4 seconds in the same way, 1 1/4, you have also the golden ratio. That's the golden ratio. You can multiply and multiplication with every number, and it's every time the golden ratio.
So the tempo then doesn't matter. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's helpful, because I understood from you that it depended upon the tempo, but it doesn't then.
The tempo between 1 and 2 seconds goes in 1 1/4. If you make it in 4 seconds, it's also important to make 1 1/4. It's all right. It's the same ratio.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
So I think we have Marnie next. Is that right, Debbie?
Yeah. Yes, Marnie next, and then Diane.
And maybe I shouldn't be bringing this up, but it's, you know, we've always asked over the years, what is clockwise if you're inside on yourself, viewed from the outside or from the inside?
You think it matters?
Well, we talk about it. And so, you know, and I don't, I mean, I just do kind of whatever in both directions and whatever, but we do use it, you know, you use the clock face when you put it on. You talk about that. I don't know, but I somehow feel it's from the inside. I've always felt it was from the inside that you view it.
How it is for you. And I remember when this first question came up many, many years ago when we were doing tea touches on the head. And the tea touch on the head is the opposite feeling of if you do it on the rest of your body. It's like on the head, if you make this same movement on my head from the inside, it felt the opposite way. And that's why I suggest to people, because this question is going to come up and it can be confusing. Oh my God, I can't figure this out. So I just say, I made the arbitrary thing. Take that clock off the wall and place it so you're looking at me from the outside. And I'm not sure it matters, but I think it's good not to get confused, because then, you know, left brain thinking, trying to figure it out and not just feeling it.
Yeah, you can get tangled up in it. But also, if you're teaching, all of a sudden somebody asks that question too. So you kind of, you know, you think about it that way. And who was it, Katarina or Cheryl, was doing it on their head and their heart at the same time? Now, how did that work? I mean, was it Cheryl? Is that, or who was doing it? Yeah. Right. I wonder how that felt. I mean, did you? If it feels different.
That's hard for me to explain because I don't think I was thinking anymore. So because I wasn't thinking, I don't think I was recording what I was doing, if that makes sense. So I was just kind of there.
Yeah, so you might know if it was, one or the other. That's interesting too, isn't it?
Yeah. So whatever I was doing, I liked it. And it helped. But if I had to go back and trying to think, I think I was actually just holding my hand over my heart. I'm not sure it was moving, and then only moving on my head. But again,
try it. Just try it. And if you do both, that's confusing to me. But if I hold one still and do the other, then it works.
Yes. And this would be typically what I would do if I was working with, say, Barletta. I would hold one hand and then work on the other. I just had a really interesting experience with a girl, a woman who does massage therapy. And we were, Mrs. said she had the feeling that my left hand listens while my right hand speaks. And that listening, the left hand is how I heard what Farletta was saying while I was working on her. And that makes sense because I've always placed that left hand and just kind of held it there. I do it with other horses too, but it was very interesting. And I wish I could think exactly how she said that, but she had a very strong impression while she was working on me that the, especially my pinky, but my left hand is what I hear with. And so that's interesting.
And that's a very common belief in the massage world.
Okay.
You know, you heard a lot of that in the 30s. Like I mostly work with my right hand, and this other hand is just making the connection. I can feel like a connection. That's not true. I think I can feel a connection. I experience a connection, but I don't feel that. And that's important for me to say to you, because one of the reasons, even if I could feel it, I would not allow it, because I only want to be able to do what anybody can do and still be effective. So that's a funny thank you for Marty, and every question is really appreciated and encouraged. So there's not the more to bring up and question, the more we will get a sense of what we're doing and who we are. Diane.
I hope that this has some validity, but you ladies, Denise and Linda, I spent actually last Tuesday, I wasn't on because I was supposed to be in an Alexander workshop. And at 10:30 that morning, I got called to the barn. I had a very, very, very sick horse. I get goosebumps. I didn't think he was going to make it. I spent hours. Homeopathy, but let's get back to teamwork. Touch the T touch. That's where we are. And you mentioned the spiral, and I took it to where I was with him. And what? And I know there's horse people here, and there's human people here. What I would find as I was doing circles, thank gosh I've been initiated with you guys, that I would get to a part on his belly that was hard. And that would allow me, thank you, I wouldn't change the tempo, Denise, but I would find that to be a place that I almost expanded away a little bit and continued the circles, because it felt if I would have stayed at the same light contact I was at, it was icky. So I would just melt away a bit. I tend to do a lot of cup, and I would cup and draw away a little, continuing the circle till I almost felt like I was sucked back closer to him again. I mean, I am telling you, hours of T touch, hours, ears, gut, well, everywhere, mouth, everywhere. But it was so amazing. And I think about what you just said, Cheryl, about listening with your hand, blah, 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 how you could feel, my tissue, my body is not able to accept that touch quite there. You got to back off a little, Diane, and keep trying to help to move energy. So anyway, the spirals and the coming away, that made me think of that. And I wanted to share that with you. It was really, really intense.
And that's so beautiful that you just followed your intuition. Right? You didn't question it, you just did it. And that's what, you know, we learn these techniques and then you follow your intuition. And just find, and by that, when I say that word, there are two ways I think of it. One is the first definition I ever got from a Rosicrucian book, which was unlearned knowledge, which today means I'm just taking that knowledge out of the quantum field. It's all there. We only have to listen. And I love Judy G's concept that intuition is the manifestation of divine consciousness within us. We're just being guided. You can see it. I ask my angels often for guidance. It's interesting. That was so beautiful, Diane. Thank you so much for sharing that. And how's the horse?
I'm still cautious. If I didn't know there was something wrong with him, I think he's beautiful. He looks great. I just know he was very, very sick. His gut was very offended. So I know I just have to keep an eye, and I'm babying him. But he looks great. He's doing well.
What I would like to suggest that you do while we're here in the group, that you bring him in our imagination, or you bring us all there gathering in the stable, and go inside. You can just take a journey inside and imagine, make yourself, you know, just, you can do it in different ways. It's fun to think of going in, but you don't have to. You just imagine that you can move that whole gut. And actually, when you say it's a gut issue, What's the temperature and respiration of the horse?
He never changed. His temperature stayed normal. It only fluctuated like 0.4 degrees. His vitals were always excellent. He never rolled, but his gut was completely dead. Nothing.
Okay. Listen, start it now in your mind. This is where we do the belly lifts. And you can do it on your own. You can either take a towel over this side of the withers and go and lift, or you can do what Robin has had great success with, taking a tight, like, do you by any chance have horse, elastic horse wraps, bandages, leg bandages? Because they are stiffer, and I would be using that and hold that and these slow lifts, because what you're shooting for is the gut sounds. Did the horse have gut? He must have had gut.
He does now. He does now. Yes. We did belly lifts. I did a lot. I was on my own most of the time. I get underneath them, and I do the belly lifts with my right. back. Can I show you a video of him really quickly?
Yes, I'm sure we'd all love to see.
If this works, can you, let me see. There he is. That was yesterday. When are you going to feed me? Doggone it, feed me. I'm hungry.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So you don't have to be sitting here without him. Be working on him here in your mind. It's the same. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Becky.
Oh, so many people have said such great things. I have a couple of places that sort of attach. The first one, in response to that notion of a spiral, I'm stacking it on that last, quarter. It's been stacked for me.
It's been what?
That I'm not coming out or in. I'm following that original line. Oh, yeah. Right. But then also, I really want to kind of say yes to that notion of, are we going out or are we going in? And for me, it is going out, and it is that notion of, I am connecting with that greater than me energy. I am connecting with something other than self. That has power beyond what I can do. But I also was thinking about the whole clock thing, and Marnie, for the first time this occurred to me. I wonder if to some degree those are simply cues to wake up our brains, in that when we talk about intuition or intention, or I loved when you used the word of one hand being the listener, we are engaging that part of our brain that's creative. When you talk about taking the clock off the wall, putting it on your body, in order to even picture that, you have to move into that other side of your brain that's just kind of clicking through and making something that's a pattern. And so I almost wonder if all of that is just language by which we ask both sides of our brain to be engaged in the process. And that maybe that's why we can be a little sloppy with it, because if all it is a cue, once the cue is given, then our brain comes online and takes care of the rest of it. But then what you said when we first walked in, Linda, was really important for me in thinking about, why do I do this? And why is this group of women important to me? What's special about it? And I started thinking about the notion of, there's a spiritual group that I belong to that at one point we were trying to name ourselves, and we messed with it. And the only thing we could come up with was Sisters of Diversity, mm-hmm. because we were so diverse in our spiritual beliefs and how we thought about things and who we were in our lives, that without that really deeper connection, we would not have been in a room together. We were so different in so many ways, but I think of that in this context for this, because all of us have chosen to step into a world with animals and sometimes with people and selves, where we are connecting with the harder parts, the darker parts, where we're part of making the light. You know, I think about a moment when I was really struggling and one of my spiritual advisors said, yeah, but the reason you're there is you hold the light, Becky. You don't have to create the light, you just hold it. I'm like, oh, okay, that I could do. But it's that notion of coming together here is important for me, because so many of us step into the world and deal with darkness in one way or another. And to have a place to be held, to breathe in the light again, becomes really critical. I found myself thinking about, it's a biblical passage that says something about be in the world, but not of it. And the whole notion of we are choosing to be in some of the worst of the world pieces that there are at times. And how do we as a spiritual being manage that and not lose our brains and lose our center? And to some degree, those of you in this room are that for me, that coming here. And, you know, I was thinking this when we were doing the heart hug, I could feel that opening up, and it's like, this is the place. You know, it's like, if you think about taking horses who've been on a long, hard trail ride or done, you know, where they're at the trough drinking, and it seems like they're sucking down some kind of ambrosia that eludes me. this is that in a way, because I do walk away from here feeling reconnected, re-energized, more able to intentionally be willing to stand in those dark places and be the light. So yeah, that was all over the map, but that's where y'all took me.
But that was beautiful. And really beautiful. And I loved what you said, that we're connecting with something with an energy that's greater than we are. And the fact that I love about that, when I think deeper on it, because to each person, it has a different connotation depending upon what our background is. But the idea that we are also a part of that, we make that, it's all a part. It's not that we're not, we, each one of us contributes to that greater part than we are.
And Linda, the piece I would add to that is that what's so magic about Tea Touch and these moments where we all get to come together and think and hypothesize and explore is that notion of self. And often we're so much better at that outer giving and then to be reminded that we have the power to heal ourselves, that we have the power to reach in and comfort ourselves, is a really nice bridging of that physical and spiritual all in the same moment. And so that's part of what makes this really special for me.
Thank you. And you see, like, each person, it was funny when you said, oh, so many wonderful things have been said. That's how I feel about Facebook. I'm so like, oh, do I really want a place on Facebook? I'm just not creative about it. But each one of us, no matter what our words are, we just contribute to the whole in such a unimaginable, really, and indescribable way. And that's why it takes a lot to dare to speak up and think, oh, what do I have to say? We don't know until we open our mouths. And that's the beautiful thing of just speaking spontaneously and saying, what is it? I don't know what I'm going to say. And then you allow yeah, that voice from your higher self that we don't often get a chance to listen to. And Nancy, I see you. You're next.
I'm muted. Okay. Yeah, I have a hard time opening my mouth. And then once I do, I can't shut it. So that's part of my, that's part of me. But I, this is all, there's so many wonderful things. And I think it's very hard not to be all over the map, because there's so much wonderful stuff being said. And Becky, I love that Sisters of Diversity. I just love that, because I think the light that other people hold helps illumine what we see, and that does come from diversity. And thinking about light, I'll just try to keep my thoughts to one general or to one topic.
You don't have to. No.
I know, but I ramble a lot, and I've had a lot of things come to mind through this conversation. light in the another Bible passage is, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And in the Christian tradition, after the Christmas season on January 6th, we enter the Epiphany season, which is the season of light. And it's so wonderful for me today to be in so many ways having that idea of light be brought up, because I need to be reminded all the time that this is in dark Wisconsin, that the light shines in the darkness. And so thank you, everybody, for that. And thank you for your insights, Becky and Linda and everyone else. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you, Nancy. So, anyone else that might allow yourself to speak out?
Well, Linda, I'd love to add how much I so love these opportunities to talk about things and the opportunity to, I don't know, just explore. And I think there's so much magic in this work. And one part of it is that it's really so simple, right? It's really so simple. It's these simple circular movements that we make. It's the simple parts of this work that have so much amazing effect. And also, there's so much complexity to it, depending upon what you're interested in diving into, and all of the thoughts that come together with this kind of group, because we each, you know, have our own experience, but yet the fact that we can share this with each other and identify with what different people are saying, there's just so much depth. And it reminded me, Linda, so much of the early trainings with you. Linda would be out on the rocks at 7 a.m. and we couldn't wait to go out there and join her and just have conversations like this. And then we would stop and go to breakfast and then start the training and then learn all day and then have dinner and then talk about what we did well into the evening and then go to sleep for a little while because we couldn't miss the opportunity to go back to the rocks and sit with Linda out on the rocks. And it was just such magical, we were exhausted, but it was just such magical, magical time. And I think that it's so much an individual experience that we still share together, right? Because it's like the direction of the circle. I can't physically do counterclockwise circles on myself. I start to go that way and my body says, Now, maybe at a different time with different things going on, that would be really different. I haven't actually, when I'm working on myself, I'm just working. I'm not necessarily thinking about what I'm doing. But as we've been practicing, I started to go, you know, the other direction with my heart hug or a little bit on my arm. And my cells pretty quickly says, that's not our preference right now. And you know, when I'm teaching people, what I'm often saying is, you know, you're visualizing the clock, you know, taking the clock and putting it on your body. But if you're working on your own face, or as Linda was saying, your own head, you can't really visualize the clock on your own face in that way. And so that's when I always say that do it whichever way feels right or feels better to you, because it does depend on whether you're looking at yourself from the outside in or the inside out. I've never thought about looking at my chest from the inside out. I can visualize that clock that I have sitting there. And I think it's just so important to remember to come back and just listen to your body and be careful about getting too much in your head. It should be like this. These are the circles that I like, because we can get so stuck in, no, that's not right. And I think that freedom to explore and think, what if I tried this? And that's reminding me of one more thing that impressed me so much when I was always impressed with Linda, but those early trainings, there was a profound moment that I just love to share. Must have been the first training, Linda, maybe the second. And we're watching Linda demonstrate some T-touch on a horse, and someone in the group raised their hand and said, "So Linda, what would happen if you tried whatever they suggested?" And I said, and I'm thinking to myself, yes, of course, she's going to say, "No, that's not what we do. We do this." And what Linda said was, "I don't know. Let's try it and see what happens." And in that instant, in that moment, I thought, whoa, this is somebody that I want to learn from, because she was open to any ideas. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. And one of the parts of stepping on this path that has been such a magical journey for me. And so I know that sometimes we can get a little bit, just a little bit, into analysis paralysis with thinking about the details of things. And that's not a bad thing, as long as you know that you're there and not lose track of the fact that, you know what, it's about communicating with the cells, and it's about the simplicity of just acknowledging that, you know, that our cells are magical. And with all of that we've been talking about, I especially want to mention again the importance of acknowledging all the parts of our bodies that are doing really well, because it's so easy to get stuck. I happen to have my foot in an orthopedic boot. I have a partial Achilles tear stepping off a step on Christmas Day. And it's, you know, it's so easy for me to think, "Oh man, my foot, how long is this going to take to heal?" And I stop myself because it's not useful. And I think it's important to remember that we have a choice. You have a choice about getting wrapped up in what's wrong or celebrating what's right and supporting all those parts that are functioning well to influence those parts that could use a little extra support. And so it's just such a magical opportunity to connect and share these thoughts. And every once in a while, I'm happy to share moments with Linda that have made so much difference for me and continue to do so. So thanks, everybody.
Oh, it's so helpful. And I'm so disappointed because Sarah Jeremiah just showed up from Italy, and she was only there a short time. Oh, it is. It's not that late. I wanted to show you a gift that I got for Christmas that is unbelievable. And it's in the form of videos that we made in Hawaii before we moved. And I had a professional filmmaker come for 2 days and spend with us. And it has 25 T-touches that I demonstrated and like where they came from. And then it has, I think, an hour and 21 minutes, me doing T-touch on Sarah and she giving me feedback what she'd really like with that, like the tempo and the pressure. And because it's something when we don't have that opportunity to work like that here, it's a way, it's really helpful. And so I am torn here, you all, because I had two plans, but I knew, I mean, I make the plans and then I see the magic that happens when we just let it happen, right? So my one plan is to have, I made these cards, everybody's name is on a card, and I would like to put them in, I was going to put you in pairs, or we can do threes. And Kirsten, and I always have the, it's a toss up, it's kind of fun for threes. It's, and so I, maybe I will take a vote, because I'm, what I'm going to do is have you, oops, I just dropped two of you. I plan to have you do a process that I did the first time at Esalen Institute in 1972. And I'd never heard of it before. And it's really interesting. And you just, normally you sit two together and one person has a notebook and doesn't say anything, is witnesses the other person, and the opposite person for 4 minutes just says, who am I? And just, you just have to keep talking. The other person can't respond. We're just listening. And so that was, that's the one thing, but we do have time if we don't take a break, if you just get up and make sure you're drinking as we go along the way. The other thing I was going to show you, even 10 minutes of what you're in store for over the next months, because I'm so excited about these videos. So, should I first show you the 10 minutes and then we do this other piece, because it's an opportunity. Okay, I'll do that. It's an opportunity to see what you have to say. Now, the person being the witness, they just drop down a few interesting, a few things, because then we'll have you share just two things from the other person. Otherwise it would take too long. And it's the process of having to just, whoever talks about themselves, like we feel guilty if we start talking about ourselves very long, right? So let me pull up this other piece. Kirsten, are you here with us by any chance? If you are, could you please call Sarah and tell her to jump back on, because she should see herself on film. Okay. Now we have this set up. Let's hope it's right. Screen share. Where are you, screen share? Come on. Oh, I'm going. Oh, this is so interesting. My two computers have different ways of doing this. Something happened when we did the Kirsten help, when we are doing the breakout rooms. This is, something's happening here and it's not giving me the correct response. Share screen. Oh, options, share screen. Okay, we have it here now. Think which one I have you on. This one. Okay, there's Sarah. Debbie, could you call Kirsten and ask her to call Sarah? Or let me give you Sarah's number, just a second. Sorry, before we do this. It would be a shame for her not to see this. Phone. Just a moment. Sarah, isn't it funny how, I don't know about the rest of you, but I have to say
something. Oh, Kirsten's calling.
She's calling her? She probably doesn't have the number.
Kirsten just called me.
So have her call Sarah, and she's on the list of people signed up. But if she can't find her, QR is, stop, Sarah. Just a moment, I'm going to give you her number. Oh my goodness, I have a lot of S's. Holy mackerel. Okay, here's her number. Debbie, can you take this down, please?
If
she can WhatsApp her. She
oh,
can
oh, WhatsApp Kirsten, her. Kirsten can hear you. So you can tell her the number.
Okay. 01134. Actually, never mind. It's 034. And this is WhatsApp. 0640-1455. Probably WhatsApp is better. Thanks. Okay. Let's start it. I hope I can come back to you. You know the trouble I've had with this. I have the pleasure of introducing my friend, Sarah Jeremiah. We first met in Italy a number of years ago when Sarah attended one of my horse trainings. And she is not only a horsewoman with her own horse, but a nurse with a master's in animal assisted therapy, correct?
Yeah.
And she's now with us here in Hawaii, where she first came here to attend one of my horse trainings. So I'm going to be demonstrating between us some of the ways that you use T-Touch when you share it with another person. And because this is a learning situation rather than a therapy session or a teaching session, I'm going to have you turn. And we're simply going to demonstrate a few of the T-Touches. Now, to begin with, I like to have Sarah sitting rather than lying, because as soon as you lie down, if you're used to wonderful work on your body, you give yourself over. This is about being responsible for feedback of how it feels to you, so that it's going to be, Sarah's going to have the responsibility of letting me know what pressure does she like. Does she want a little more pressure, a little less? Would she like me to go faster or slower? It's giving her the responsibility rather than me being the person who thinks I know what's best for her. That's a different with T-Touch. Now, I'm standing to the side of her rather than behind, because when I'm behind, you don't know what I'm going to do, do you?
Mm-mm.
And instinctively, unless you trust a person really well, it's not as ideal. I want you to know that you can escape at any time out that way. You can turn and see me. So that's why I really choose carefully where I stand. So that it's back here, not as good, is it, as when I'm a little here. Now also, when I stand with my arm straight like this, as opposed to behind with the wrist bent, I have a much better energetic connection, just feeling like I imagine the breath of the earth coming up through my feet into my hands, and you the same way, Sarah, that you feel that connection to Mother Earth. So I support the weight of my own hands when I put it on your body. Feel what happens. Not so nice if I just...
The shoulder dropped
down. The shoulder dropped. As soon as I just put the weight of my hands on her, no. So I land lightly on her shoulder, and I really put my hands here lightly. It's like using my breath to come in and just make a connection. My message here, rather than being one of, oh, let's see how can we fix something, my message is, you're a wonder. This body is a wonder. And I'm just going to give a little move that we call Noah's March. Simply giving her the outlines of her body in the lightest way. And so I then make a little rest and come straight down. That's what we call, originally we call it Noah's March, because it kind of brings all the parts together with the animal names we're going to be using. Now, I'm going to begin with the abalone T-Touch. And I just soft my hand here, make a connection, and do a little lift at the end. I do a very light slide downward and circle and a little lift. And I come down and lift. Now, when I bring, I'm going to turn you around. As I, my right hand comes lower on her back, I have to move my hand down, and I don't go onto the stomach because it's too intimate. I just come a little more on the ribs here and then on the back. Now, I just want you to, that's the combination using the abalone with this little lift each time. Now, I would like to ask you, would you like me to use more pressure with that, more contact, a little less, or
that's
the same?
That's perfect, actually.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
great. And what about the tempo? Would you like me to go faster?
Slower. A little
slower.
Bit. Yeah.
Ah. So I put my hands on it, and it's always with this, and my ah is coming from a place of gratitude for the wonder that this, our bodies are.
That's it.
Nice. Now I'm not, this looks like it's not very much, but it's a lot of possibility of you just being in the body here. And one of the things that I want to point out, the slide between like whatever contact I make with the circle. And I was doing probably a 2 pressure there. When I do that careful slide down, it will be like half. And it's just the lightest connection over the body. So I generally try to do like half as much contact between the circles as I actually do them, because if you slide down, pull down, it's a real downer. So let's go on. What does that feel like?
I feel the difference between this side and this side. This is more, this side is more end body, and this side is more up in the air.
Interesting.
That's what I'm feeling. Yeah.
Now,
actually, in the leg. All down, all this side of the body.
And just think how little I did.
Yeah, just a few touches.
And because I'm not doing 2, I'm connecting with your body to give you a sense of yourself, of your amazing self. So that's the basic abalone T-touch, that I just use my hand like this. Now I'm going to do a basic, what we call a clouded leopard T-touch. And I come down, I'm just coming down the left side of the spine here. Little slide. Notice where my thumb is.
And the thumb is a connector. I use the same contact
as little
thumb
pause
as I do
at the
with my
end.
Fingers.
Notice the thumb, little lift, and the closure. Now just think I did like 6 T-touches down your back. That was with about a 3 pressure. Mm-hmm. Would you like deeper pressure?
A little bit deeper.
A little more.
Yeah.
Maybe go to a 4.
Thanks.
Let's just try this then.
And Rania, the next time we'll review
just
the,
a little bit more.
How we get the pressures.
Now I work to just keep an inner smile. Our tendency when we work on someone is, the tendency is to hold one's breath because we're focusing, concentrating.
I can't believe you didn't follow me down here.
Now that was, the first was a 3, but they've already learned how to do that. And that's just a little more. What's the difference between the 2 sides? You feel it?
Now I am more energetic, but just in the side where you did the tea touch. The other side is still like sleeping.
Is that interesting?
Yeah.
But I mean, think how little that is. That is what's so amazing. You don't need to do this work forever because we're talking to the intelligence of the body. So I'm going to stop it right now. And I what I'm thinking is, I want to do this because it's a chance to see working between two people, but I have really beautiful video of 25 of the tea touches. And maybe it would be better to next time start with that, or maybe do a few tea touches and then a little bit each time, because we don't want to do a lot. We just want to do a few. So, Any comments or questions? I'm going to stop this share. Sorry that she didn't. Okay.
Well, Linda, I was thinking that this really demonstrates why it's useful to have both hands comfortable to do the touches, because depending upon which side you were standing on, you would want your other hand. And I know that for most people, the left hand may not feel, for me anyway, my left hand doesn't feel quite as skilled as my right hand. I'm always just keeping track of my left hand a little bit because I want to be sure I know which direction I'm going with the circles. That's just so that if somebody wants me to change something, I have the choice to go the other direction. But I think practicing with both hands is with one hand and the other hand is so useful.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to point out, Debbie. And one of the things that I was doing, sometimes I did a slide between the T-touches, and a couple of times I did a T-touch and then a step down. It's like a little crab walk down to the next T-touch. It's really interesting and really a fun feeling. And the thing is, you, like Debbie said, I'm certainly not, I think, as practiced with my left hand as my right. But about 3 nights ago, I was in such pain. My whole side of my neck was just burning like crazy. I can't remember what I'd done. And I couldn't stand it. And so I asked Roland to work on it, and he has Parkinson's and his right hand shakes a lot. And in 4 T-touches, bringing my arm against my body, sitting and lifting like this, and with the other hand doing T-touches along my shoulder blades, literally, the pain was completely gone in less than 5 minutes. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've been doing this stuff for years, and you know, so it's not like he was perfect with that hand, but it absolutely worked. And I think sharing these things, we don't have to be perfect to make it work. Now, I'm just a little concerned, Denise, because we didn't get enough answers for you. So what, and we don't have time to do our sharing in the breakout rooms. Are you all okay if we save that to the next time? Because I want us to have more time. And one of the things I would really like is, Denise, what we heard from the people who spoke is, and certainly true for me, we call this a spiral because it's a 1 1/4. But it's not a spiral as in or out. It's literally one circle and tracing it back to the next quarter. And why is it important, like the 1 1/4? Because I was thinking, if somebody thought, oh, it's a spiral, you just keep going. And what makes it so powerful is the consciousness and the awareness it takes to actually know where that quarter mark is and stop there. It means you have to stay completely present. And that presence is such a gift for the other person because, you know, we have so much time together when somebody's talking and nobody's listening to them, or they're waiting for the opening to happen so they can say something. And that gift of being the witness is so incredible. But Denise, ask more questions that you need. Because we didn't find out what about the left hand, the right hand from the changing sides. Does that make a difference which direction you like?
I don't have question actually, because my answer or your answer was absolutely good for me, because my idea is now we bring in resonance the complete skin and yeah. All cells are connected together, and if I give an impulse, then goes the impulse not only in one cell or only the area what I move, because we have a movement completely in this into this net, and it goes into the body, into the dermis and into my cells, only with a movement, with a rotation, and that's what I have to think about and what I have to look at the science behind this. That's actually what I take with me for today.
Great.
I think I have to think about 1 week and wrote it, right. And yeah.
So it's a start. And Rania, let me get this. I want to show you all this little painting, because it's really, I think it's really significant for us to think about this.
Denise, while she's getting that painting, I also wonder, because you made me think just then, or Linda did as she was talking about it again, as we start up, if that feels like an inward motion, because we know we're in a pattern of completing a circle. And if once we cross the bottom of it and we're coming up that quarter, that feels internally like a movement away from center, and that's part of why that feels like a spiral, just because our brain is patterning it that way. I don't know that for sure, but I wonder.
That's interesting, Becky, because if we don't, what happens is that people, here, I'm going to put me on. If we, the tendency as one comes around is to kind of go in toward the middle, and opening it to make sure that we don't go in, because just try it on yourself. Like if you make a circle, one circle and a quarter, and if I pull out just a little bit as I come to the almost to the 9 point, it's quite a different feeling if I come one and a quarter around. And the tendency is to finish inward. I don't know why that is, but it's my tendency. And so I really was careful to bring this slightly outward, really consciously.
I, I have an idea, because if you go more inside, you go more intense into the cells. You go deeper in this, because the spiral goes smaller, and if it goes smaller, it goes faster.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's like a pirouette. Pirouette.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a dancer on ice, and he makes an rotation, and he takes his arm from big to small, he goes faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. That's why I ask, if we make more the 1.25 inward or outward, because if we going inward, we are going faster into the cells, deeper and faster.
It's really interesting, because when you ask me now, and I actually do it, I really make sure it's a little pull. Because then as I go to here, now for the cloud, for the coiled python, I have to come out and go upward, because if I don't, everybody heads over that way. And it's completely more opening when I go straight up. And that is, it opens my breath. It gives me a sense of my shoulder blades, and my spine. And if I go in, it's interesting, Denise. I never.
I think both things are possible, and I think both happens because. In one thing, you go more out, you go slow down. And if you go more inside, you go faster and in more intensity into the impulse and into the energy impulse in your body, into the cells.
And Denise, I wonder then if some of it has to do with what you need, or where, you know, like I think of myself as already being too intense often. And so I'm trying to slow down. I'm trying to expand out and get out of my head and more into that interconnectedness. So I wonder, too, if it has to do with what you're using it for and how.
That's interesting. Because how many of us need to speed up? Not really, right?
But some people do. I mean, I think about, you know, God, with depression, that might be a really interesting thing to try, you know, especially that slow depression, that dysthymia.
Well, let's talk about that the next time, because I'd really like to, but I want to show you this. And this is a painting done by a woman who is blind. And these are little dots. And if you look closely, can you see it's like, you see the sun coming down from the heavens, and you see the vessel, like her body, or this body is contained. And that's how, well, that is the feeling that I get with the body blessing, because our outer parts, our outer skin is like this, like being in a vase, and all the parts of us are within this container. And that is the container for our body and our soul. And I just can't get over this painting. It was a Christmas gift. So that is precisely feeling that I do when we do the body blessing. And Rania, what I'd like to give you for this week is this idea, and we'll just do it all together here, is to, let's just start with the right hand, if it's comfortable for you. But I'm going to start with the right. And on the top of my head, I'm going to support the weight of my own hand. So it's just kind of on top of my hair. And with a half a pressure, I make a circle and a quarter, and I smile. And I slide down to the ear. And up here, I say,
Thank you, my brains. And then I come down the side and I can say, like, thank you, my hair. Doesn't have to be the same as me. You can do it. Thank you, my ears, that I can hear. And I'm really being aware to smile, like, just take my neck and, thank you, this neck. You know? And then the top of the shoulder, and it's with the whole the abalone that I'm doing this. And then down arm, and I'm doing this down the arm with a circle and a quarter and a little lift and a slide and against my body, because when I make a circle and a quarter like this and then I lift up and my arm is against my body, I can feel my whole spine relieve and back. Down lower. Oops, okay, I don't know if I can go low enough. And then if you're sitting, you can just, we're just going to go down the outline, down the body. I'm going to change my hand so it's easy now to lift and go down the left side. And if you're sitting and it's not comfortable for you to reach down, either imagine you're T-touching down farther, or if you can lift your leg, you can do that. But it also works if you just imagine it. Then I go to the other side and I do the same thing. And it's just, thank you, all the way down. I'm talking, but I'm normally smiling, giving thanks for this. And for me, because I've got a restriction on this side, I'm going to have help with this arm to go like that. And then I can just thank you. And I'm thanking my elbow. I thank my forearm. I thank my wrist. I thank my fingers. And I normally name them. And I use whichever hand is easy. Just the outlines of the body. And like I said, you can just imagine that you're doing it. You don't even have to do it. But give thanks to this outer boundaries, vessel, borders of our body. And I've done this with some, so I have he's now 22 years old, but he started with T-Touch when he was a baby. And this is a young man, the last time I had him in a training in Austria, he was 18, I think. And he said he was having a really hard time getting up in the morning, could not wake up. But after we did this body blessing, he just imagined it in bed and he could wake up just from like 2 minutes. So remember the body blessing. And I'd like to give you something to think about. Maybe we'll have time on Sunday to do it, but to think of something you desire for yourself in this coming year. And that, again, that comes from a comment made by Esther Hicks and Abraham a few weeks ago. In this afternoon, I went to them. And it's, so yesterday, I was in the pool. And by the way, for those of you who saw me on Facebook saying, oh, I'm gonna really be tough and I'm gonna swim in the cold water, I'm not gonna heat the pool. I've got to get on and confess, man. I did this when the pool, when it got colder and the pool went like to 70, I don't know, in the 70s. And it took me 2 hours for my feet to get warm after just 30 minutes in the pool. And so we turned the heat up to 85. Oh my God, it is really nice. So anyway, what happened to me yesterday in response to this question, what do I desire? I suddenly realized I am going back to teaching, because when I went on sabbatical in June for 6 months, I thought I would never teach in person again, that I would just stay here and enjoy Florida and be with Roland. and teach on Zoom. But last week I had to look after two horses of Lise Madsen while she went for Christmas vacation. And it just brought me out of my, you know, I thought I couldn't do it. I thought I didn't have the strength. I was too exhausted. And that changed when I got out and got a purpose. So that purpose is I'm going to go back to teaching. So yesterday I set up two trainings already in June. So maybe we'll plan a retreat for those who can come together for Detach for You at some point. So I'd like you to think something for you, something that you desire to do in this coming year. It's not like a promise you made yourself. It doesn't even have to be a big thing, but just something that you honor this being. Something for you. Yep, when we dare to think of that. Let's do a heart hug and blessings. And I really sing, my heart sings just being here with you all. And Debbie, I love it when you can join us. It's so great. And just with all of you, I'm so appreciative of you being here. And Grania, I will hold the intention that you will have something now to just start talking to your body and calling in your guardian angels. And just imagine, you know, that you can talk to these, all the cells in your body that are really functioning well, and remind those ones that are a little off. They have an opportunity to bring in the light. And that doesn't mean that that's necessarily at all a replacement for whatever you're doing for yourself. It's just, it's a way that we can help ourselves in really wonderful ways. Blessings, you all.
See you Saturday.
Look forward to it.
Saturday at 10.
Yes.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. It was very cool.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Have a good week.